person talking about the harassment, mm-hmm. you made a comment that you said that that was different from how you'd been brought up
mm-hmm. in terms of taking the initiative and working with people. My work at Northrop had stood me in good stead
mm-hmm.
by being able to talk business. Mm-hmm. And in contractors, I would call them, look in the yellow pages and reference. And that's frozen, so it may be a little stiff. For instance, the framer.
Mm-hmm.
We had found his name when we were up here looking for property. In fact, that's how we found this lot. He was building a house over on Cavalera Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never seen quite so many good, straight studs that's in the house, and as many nails.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you can shake the framework of a house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wrote his name down and called him up that night when he got home. And he was, I'd say, a southern fellow. And, he'd be delighted to frame us a house. And I said, well, we're not ready to build. I said, we just bickered for a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you charge for framing?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, $1 a foot. And so I said, well, I'll be talking to you. And, I guess we must have talked an hour that night just over the telephone. And he talked freely, and like I said, well, you'll be dealing with me. My husband works,
mm-hmm.
and he's not going to take any vacation time until we move in,
mm-hmm.
because we're going to finish the house, and we're owner-builder, and I told him all about the airport taking her home, and, you know, and that touches people that have feelings, because, you know, it could be them. So then he told me about a cabinet maker in Oxnard.
Mm-hmm.
So I had, before I went up there to talk, though, I had called a cement company to, I forgot now why I needed to call a cement company. Oh, to know, a lot of places wouldn't come to Malibu. So I called, can't think of the name of the, that's my ball bearing clock. Just to get it, when they hear that, they won't think we're playing marbles. Conrock,
mm-hmm.
concrete.
Oh.
And they sent me to the main office gentleman in, which was way over in the City of Commerce industry, and asked him if he knew any concrete men. Yeah, they'd go to Malibu, they did all the time. And he says, if you want the best concrete man in the business, you get Joe Ramirez in Oxnard. Well, I got his telephone number and called him up, and he wanted to see the lot. And so he says, I'll meet you here at 12 o'clock on Sunday over at the restaurant over there. And so this place is on a private road, and wasn't marked, almost impossible to find. So I got there 5 minutes before 12. He was waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, hey, that's good. And he was a jewel of a fellow. So we came over here and looked at the lot. Yeah, he liked the lot, liked the job. And he bid $5,600 on the job. And so we had gotten bids all the way up to $11,000 for just the concrete work, which is the foundation. This house is a lazy L, it's laying down. And half of the house is on graded land, and the other half is fill and foundation. So there was weeds on the lot, and it was, kind of uneven. So I told Joe that I'd call him back when the grading was done, and to make sure that he could hold his bid. You know, it was just the top of the hat bid. And he was a great, big, sweet type of man, big Mexican fellow, and he never spoke above this poem. He threw his hat down one day and says, damn. And that's the most emotions I saw him. And anyway, I called him up, and he came down that afternoon that I called, that the grading was done. As much as, well, we had to grade down the driveway, and the as level as the lot could be, the county tells you how much you're allowed to grade, or what. So he and his son and another fellow came down that afternoon to see the lot, and when we left, our house was laid out. He went to work right then, and that's the kind of luck we had with every contractor. And the plumber came over to the house, because he lived not far from us in Flat LA, and I had picked out everything, the brand I wanted, the style I wanted, everything in plumbing, the bathroom, the Johns and the Pullmans, everything. So all he had to do was just give us a bid then. So as soon as the grading was done, before the cement man started, the plumber had to come, and we had to get the trenches dug for him. And then Joe put up the forms for the foundation, and they worked together on that then, and Joe was going to be through with the cement on Wednesday. So Tuesday night I called Al Meisner, who was the framer, and I said, well, the cement man will be through Wednesday night. When can you come? He says, I'll be there at 7:30 on Thursday morning. And I mean, that it was just unbelievable, the way it went.
Did you ever get any strange attitudes from dealing with the women?
None that I hired. Mm-hmm. I talked to about 10 to 15 contractors for everyone I hired. And when I would tell them they would be dealing with me, and I could tell by the way they talked to me, you know, whether they talked down to me or, you know, whether they could deal. You know, I couldn't have anybody giving us any lip. And I told them that we were given 6 months to get out of our house, and I said, we can't pay $350 a month rent. So we have a deadline. And it just seemed like every one of them was bound to tell them we was going to meet that deadline. Mm-hmm. And the most problem I had was the plywood raise in price. It just went crazy. Mm-hmm. That was, our cabinets in the kitchen cost us about $500 more than we had planned. And, well, everywhere I went, one Meisner sent me up to Oxnard to talk to a cabinet maker. Well, he sent me to the drywall man. And, actually, I had talked to the stucco, hired the stucco man, and I wanted stucco inside. But it was about four times as much as the drywall, and we just couldn't afford it, so we went drywall. And when I talked to the cabinet maker, he said, well, I wouldn't want to hold you up. He says, I just couldn't get to you for 3 months. And I said, well, that's too long. So I asked him to send me a drywall man. Mm-hmm. And he told me to call the telephone number, gave it to me, of Newman Drywall, and asked for, I can't even remember the guy's name now. And he was a little country boy from the Ozarks. And he could write his name, and that's just about all. But his crew, he had a friend, I called him Mighty Mouth, that did the nailing up of the drywall. And his brother-in-law did the taping, where the seams go together, they tape. And little Mighty Mouth was, he couldn't have been more than 5 feet tall. And little in structure, but an Atlas body. God, he was cute. And I went up on, well, he came down on Wednesday and talked to me and gave me the bid, and $2,800. And we figured, well, that was within our range. So, you know, you in bickering, you seesaw a little bit. Well, this one can go a little higher if we can get this one for a little less. So they were threatening strike then, the union. So he said, is it all right if I bring all the drywall down on the Friday? And I said, well, sure. You know, I was just like that. I couldn't believe there was no time lost. So the guy called me back on Friday night, and he says, don't be surprised if you get up there tomorrow and your house is already being drywalled. They're going on strike, and if I can get the ceilings up, they won't stop me. So we came down here, and that little guy was slinging these 4x12 sheets of drywall around like they were little pieces of dominoes, you know, and just throwing the pieces. They don't try to economize on the drywall. They just guess, and then if they cut off a piece, they don't piece up your house. In other words, a good drywall man doesn't. So I was picking it all up and stacking it. I'd come up every day and sweep the place out or pick up trash and pile it, you know, because there's fire hazard up here, and I didn't want vandalism and all that sort of stuff. So I come back on Tuesday, I guess it was, and the drywall boss said, I had him do the back wall of your garage. He says, you don't have to look at all of that pipes and everything, you know, how the open studs are in the garage. And he said, there'd be no charge for that. And he said, your bill's only $2,700. That one made me cry. He said, you're the hardest working white woman I ever saw in my life. And he brought down a trailer, and he picked up every bit of trash all around this house. It was a piled up like this, tied on, and he took it to the dump for me. But that's the kind of man they were. I've never seen anything like it.
When was the house completed then?
We moved in August 20th. Actually, we came up here most of the time in July. Mm-hmm. But our deadline at home to get out of Playa del Rey was August 20th. And we moved our last load out of there August 20th.
And what year was that?
75.
Mm-hmm. So, in years since you've finished your house project, I know you've had a lot of help here back, and you mentioned to me that you're in the Orchid
Society
and have been raising orchids. What other kinds of things have you done with your time?
Pulling weeds. Oh, landscaping, and I went to one year of sewing and to a fit class, mainly to fill up the class for my friend. And the traffic just got too much. And then I had an automobile accident that ruined my sewing. It ruined my right hand and shoulders, and it's hard for me to bend over. In fact, that's why I took up raising orchids, because they want me to quit sewing. And join the society, and that's the only way you ever get in Malibu, is to join something. People will talk to you, they're friendly, but you don't visit back and forth. And it's really been a boon to us because it's couple-oriented. Either the wife or the husband will grow orchids. Very few, two of them do. But they have potluck dinners, and they have luaus, and they have picnics, and they have barbecues, and we have a big bash at Christmas. And everybody pitches in. And the fellows help, and the women help. And there's a few single fellows, and there's a few single women. But mainly it's couples. And we've met an awfully nice group of couples. And we go out to dinner, and they seem to be more willing to go on the Dutch treat basis, and the last minute basis, you know. If, say, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we decide we want to go out to dinner, there's 4 or 5 couples. We can call and say, hey, we're going so-and-so, you want to go? And if they can, they go, and if they don't, they can't. I mean, they can't, they don't. And it's a very warm relationship. And it's freedom, you know. There's no big deal if you can't do something. So it's nice.
Looking forward, what are your plans for
you? I'm not looking forward to growing old. That's not, in my grandmother's day, you look forward to growing older and being grandmother, and actually I don't feel any older today than I did at 18. Just a little wiser. My body's not as strong, and that's the part I worry about. And Tom's thinking about retiring definitely in March. And that's mixed emotions. He asked me the other day, he says, well, you think you're going to be able to get along with me when I retire? And I says, I'm shopping for a big baseball bat. I understand that men tend to become whiny babies when they retire. They lose all interest in anything. And, you know, after all, Tom's gone to work now for 50 years, every day. And he doesn't take 5 days a year off for himself, you know, for sick or anything like that. So the only thing I can say is when anything devastating hits either one of us, I hope it takes us all the way out, you know, that invalid bit. And there's a lot of worry at this time in life. But I've heard so many women, you know, in sewing class in particular, and hobby crafts, natural fiber arts class I took was hand weaving and basket making, which really makes you appreciate a basket when you see one, while they go through and make them. But women escape to those to get to themselves or back with women, especially if their husbands retire. And I said, well, I don't worry about, you know, I drew a cocky. I said, I don't worry about mine retiring. He's got too many hobbies. Oh, yeah, mine did too, you know. I can't even go to the bathroom by myself. I can't go to the store by myself. They just trail along like little sick kids. And that I don't look forward to. But I talked frankly to Tom about it when I said, well, you're not the easiest person on earth to live with. He's quite high-tempered, and he's mellowed a little bit with old age. And I said, I've had enough of it for another reason. And I said, you're going to have to let me take my time, what I want to do. He's really not interested in orchids, although he's built me a gorgeous greenhouse, better equipped than any other than a commercial. And he is a genius at anything mechanical or, you know, to do. And you can just work around the yard just so long, and then you lose any thrill to it. You need praise, and he has quite an ego, and he likes compliments, and you've done a good job, and all that sort of thing. And coming from a wife, that doesn't mean a lot, not like your outside praise. So he's trying to bicker for part-time work when he retires. You know, go back when they need him. Since being a troubleshooter, that's really where the meat of a job is. You know, if everybody else has failed and you can do it, you know, you're a pretty good kid. And plus, they've not been lucky in finding anybody to take his place. Nobody wants to make a decision anymore. They're afraid of it, you know. Let Joe Blow do it. And he thrives on that. And he'd love for John to have it, and John would dearly love it. But John doesn't have the background for it. He's too young. So I don't know who's going to do it. And Tom said the other day that Jones was going to see if they could pull him in maybe a couple of days a week or a week a month so he could still draw his Social Security, because he's worked for it since inception, 34. So he's entitled to draw it. And just see how that works. He came home and told me, well, I hired in about 15 fellows in 46 around the time I hired Tom in that are still there. Well, Jack Brown sent me a hello the other day. He was one of the fellows that I hired in around that time. And I said, my God, I thought Jack retired umpteen years ago. And he said he did, but he's back 3 days a week. He's pulled one division out of the hole.
So he may be able to work.
That would be great for him. It would be enough of being needed. And, well, since we can't travel, and several couples we know have moved to Oregon, and they spend part of the year in Oregon and part of it in Hemet and things, you know, and they travel all over the world. Well, I can't do that. But an awful lot of the couples, one or the other of them have died 2 years after they've been out. I'd rather he'd work than to go. He's only 62.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking back on the experience of having worked during the war, mm-hmm. do you feel that it made any real changes in your life?
Oh, heavens, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It opened up a right for me to have a life mm-hmm. that would not have been open to me under any other circumstances. Mm-hmm. Only a very few, Amelia Earhart and a few of the others, broke tradition, and I mean broke all the records of tradition, mm-hmm. and did what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But if you think my life is made up out of contradictions and drastic changes and things, imagine what her life, you know, that type of life. There were a few women pioneers that opened the gates for, okay, so women can do anything. She did it, you know, pointing to them. And I never had that much of a drive. Both brothers saw to it that I never went to work in a restaurant as a waitress. And, well, I really don't know what would have ever happened to me had there not been a war. Mm-hmm. Because that was the only chance to actually get out and break away and go to work. I just shudder to think of what would happen. But I have never, been afraid of anything. Mm-hmm. Nothing bothers me. Mm-hmm. Anything happens, I hold together great, but after it's all over, that's when I fall apart. mm-hmm. But back to the jig days, when the friendship there and support of the fellows, like, stick up for yourself. You know, you're right. You've got a right to do what you want, and he doesn't have a right to do that to you. And really gave us girls our self-esteem that took us the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm hot-tempered. Mm-hmm. Justly so. I've got a lot of faults, but if something hits me that it's unjust, I'll fight to the death over. Mm-hmm. Like the airport, you know, condemnation and things like that. As long as everything goes along, it's fair to everybody. I don't want any special privileges or anything like that. I'm willing to work for it. And I didn't mind if when they threw 8 departments at me. Mm-hmm. You know, I did what I could. But, the only time I balked was when the day clerk was a superintendent's sweetie pie. Mm-hmm. She had 1 department, and I had 8, including her department on nights. Mm-hmm. She would do half of a transfer, half of a termination, just turn me every way but loose. Mm-hmm. And I went to my boss and told him I wanted to talk to his boss, mm-hmm. that I couldn't stand this. Mm-hmm. Well, at that time, there were so many cutbacks, nobody wanted to make any waves. Well, I was pushed to the wall. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to Ray, Ray Roan was on days then, and the night guy resented it. And he went to the superintendent and told him that I'd gone over his head. And so I was called in on the carpet to the superintendent, Paul Jacobs. And I said, I'm sorry, he's lying. I said, if you don't believe it, get them both in here. Mm-hmm. Well, he knew the hanky-panky that was going on, and I think he suspected the rest of it. And I said, Paul, you can fire me if you want to. But I said, I'm only human. I've got 8 departments. And I said, that wench has only got 1. And I said, if she would do all of any one thing, it would be fine. Mm-hmm. And she's got no business doing any of it. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, naturally, they won't embarrass a foreman. So he says, I can't do that, but I'll talk to it. So he didn't call me back in the office. He came down to my office to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And he says, if you get 1 more ripple from her, you won't be going over their head. You just call me. And I didn't have any more trouble. Mm-hmm. But that is the only time I was ever really just got my back up and had just had it. I didn't care if they fired me. I just couldn't do any more. And they were just expecting too much of us girls at night. And it was all, we all understood the pressure the men were under. Mm-hmm. Well, Tom had been busted back, you know, and things. So it wasn't as if they were the only ones. But there again, the man's ego is involved. And when you step on a man's ego, you got to rattle her by the tail. Mm-hmm. So everything, all in all, I would say I lucked out to having the best bosses in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Some bosses were not so good, but mine were excellent.